the federal member for Eden Monaro, Mike Kelly. How are you, mate?
G'day, Pete. Yeah, absolutely. I am officially an old bastard.
Yeah, good work. Good work. So, mate, how you been keeping?
Yeah, it's been, obviously a really trying time for everybody in the last few months, but, I had some health issues that were kind of left over or caused by my army days. Yeah. I had a few severe dehydration episodes in Somalia and Timor and Iraq that has played merry hell with me kidneys, so that was a pretty agonising and traumatic old couple of months dealing with that, and then I get out of the hospital with a pipe hanging out of my guts and the region blew up, and great.
Yeah, well, that's about right. Mate, I guess, the fires have been spoken about a lot, but, I guess in the electorate here of Eden Monaro, and on the South Coast, the damage and the trauma that these fires have caused has been unbelievable.
Yeah, look, Pete, just to put it in perspective, because I think this helps, is if you look at just Eden Monaro, which is, 42,000 square kilometres, we were the epicentre of the whole thing, but we've lost over 1 million hectares burnt, and there's fire still burning, around the region right now. But just to put that in perspective, that's bigger than those massive Amazon forest fires.
Yeah.
It's bigger than the whole of the Black Saturday fires in Victoria, just in our patch. Bigger than the big California fires in 2018.
Yep.
So that's all in our little region, and beyond that, we had lost over 1,000 homes across the LGAs here, the councils, and, something like 9,000 beasts were either burnt or had to be put down.
Yep.
And, we all know, who've had some sort of farming background, how traumatic it is for farmers to deal with the animals who are suffering like that and having to euthanize them. And then, of course, over and above all of that is the loss of life we had. 11 of the fatalities happened in of the 33 that happened across the country were here.
Yeah.
And people that, you know how our towns are, we depend on some people who are real pillars of the community, and people like Patrick and Robert Selway, like my family, go back many generations of dairy farming on the coast and did everything. They were involved in the show society and just, were always there for everyone else. And just to be taken out like that with that massive fireball is, tragic for them and traumatic for Janelle and for, Aaron and the family. It's just, heartbreaking. And the young, fiery Paul McSamuel, who was killed over near Gingellic in one of those freak situations where a mini tornado caused by the fire just picked up his 8-ton truck and hurled it around. A wonderful young guy, actually, was from Browley originally.
That's it. Young Sam's mother is a presenter at 2 FM down at Maria. So
right. Mm. And he was studying over in Wagga and had his whole life in front of him and young family and all that. So, lots of heartbreaking stories out of it. But, mate, I think, that probably the thing that keeps us going is just how inspiring was the way all of our communities pulled together through this.
Unbelievable. The RFS and SES and everybody else just did amazing work.
Incredibly heroic when you think that. I was talking to one fire, he said that his brigade, their previous record for continual team rotations was 4 weeks. They'd been at this for like 8 weeks non-stop.
Yeah.
And they were buggered. What they told me is, look, mate, we're buggered and we can't keep this going.
Yep.
And just in the conditions they were working in, just unbelievably heroic. And, I'd like to actually, what happened to me with my health situation, I want to get the word out to all of those people in the RFS who are working through those incredibly hot and dangerous conditions that have to really pay attention to staying rehydrated through all that.
Yep.
Otherwise, you'll end up with the problems that I've had. So we really need to get that word out there and make sure our fireys are properly supported and looked after in that way as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I guess that applies to the SES and everybody else that was out there, And as you know, I drive up and down the Clyde Mountain once or twice a week now, and And the drive up and back is just devastating.
Yeah, everywhere I've driven over these, many weeks now since the things eased down a bit and the roads open, it's just scene of utter devastation.
Yeah.
So, in some ways our bush will bounce back, but you look at the loss of infrastructure on the farms over and above, all the 1,000 homes we've lost. A lot of infrastructure has been damaged, communications infrastructure. And look, I know people often complain about the issues with communications, but a big shout out to Chris Taylor, the regional Telstra manager, and his team.
Yep.
They were pretty bloody heroic too. They had such a huge job in front of them, and they were constantly in touch with me. I was pointing them in the direction of things that needed to be sorted, and teams were just tireless in getting out there and working in really difficult situations. So, that was a pretty heroic effort on their part as well.
Absolutely. And, there's been a lot written and said about getting the infrastructure right, but we all know that people in our regions and down on the south coast really do have some issues with mental health. Do you think there's an up being put into this?
No, definitely not. It's something I picked up loud and clear. I've sat down a lot of community meetings and in the recovery centres and talked to, chambers of commerce too, because one thing, that's really struck out too is that a lot of small businesses around our region that weren't actually damaged by fire have effectively been ring-barked through this whole thing.
Yeah.
And they're suffering just as badly, as any business that was actually damaged by fire, but with the added problem that they can't actually claim insurance.
Yeah.
So they're really stressed out, and a lot of those businesses were employing casual labour who've all had to be cut loose.
Yep.
And they're in great distress as well. A lot of them have actually had to just leave the area because you don't have anything else to go to. So all kinds of different levels of stress and trauma out there, particularly those, of course, who've lost homes and family members. So we really need to be doing a better job of that. There needs to be more of a system around it. Some councils are doing a good job with managing that. Others, because of the scale of them, are not coping too well. So I just actually had a good meeting with Andrew Colvin before I came on here with you. The guy has been appointed to handle the kind of the federal side of the recovery effort. So I've been talking with him about that and how we might go about sort of addressing that. But the mental health side of it is a really important one, and we should take some leaves out of the Victorian book after Black Saturday, where they had this regional leadership program that I think helped a lot. So we don't need to reinvent the wheel on some of this.
Yeah, exactly right. And we all know somebody who's been directly affected by the fires. I live in Batemans Bay, and I know at least four people who lost their homes. And although that didn't happen to our family, there's still the trauma associated with it, isn't there?
Oh, totally. And look, everybody in the region lived through those weeks of incredibly bad smoke and that apocalyptic sort of surroundings, the blood red skies and, not being able to breathe effectively. Like, it was so depressing, and you just think, living through it myself, I was thinking, my God, is this ever going to end? Are we ever going to be breathing clean air again? And, and for a lot of people who have asthma and other conditions, that was, sort of really challenging. And all the people who had to kind of leave the area and evacuate, sort of incredibly dislocating, your routine's disrupted, everything, your world's turned upside down. Mm. So everybody has their story to tell about how things impacted on them in our region. No one was left untouched by it.
Yep, absolutely. One of the things that occurred to me during this drama was the amount of work and communication that was put out by community radio. In Tumut, I would imagine, down on the south coast of Maria, and we know how much work we did here and Braidwood, well, I think we're still dragging the chain a bit, but I know you met with community radio hierarchy the other day. What was that discussion about?
Yeah, look, this is something I've been really keen on for a long time now, because as we know, like a lot of the mainstream media have been kind of abandoning rural and regional Australia, you know, or they're still broadcasting but only, you know, getting programs out of the main cities.
Yeah.
And so more and more is it important that we have community radio being that local voice and having a big role to play in disaster responses, as you guys did. But as you say, like Sounds of the Mountains over in Tumut is the main radio station for that community, because nothing coming out of Wagga really, you know...
It doesn't get in there, does
no,
it?
No, I mean, that just doesn't touch their lives, so...
No.
And David Eisenhower and the crew there did the same sort of thing you guys would do, and they're just heroic commitment to serving the community. And that's why we need to continually work on improving the reach of community radio technically, and giving the, you know, the ability to provide that service. So, you know, it's and John Bissett was the guy that I met from Community Broadcasting Association of Australia. You know, so we talked through how we might go about you know, improving the support for community radio in the future. And we talked, he was well aware of what you guys had been doing at Braidwood, you know, 14 days of near continuous coverage of the
Caligander
National Park fires and whatnot. And I know Gordon Waters, you know, has been named Braidwood Citizen of the Year for his 9 years of work there. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's a great story to tell, and we just need to keep providing, you know, improvements to how we support them.
Yep. Mate, I know it's sitting week. I won't keep you too long, but what's on the agenda this week in the Parliament?
Yeah, it's really flat out at the moment, because apart from the normal circus, the, you know, I'm using the time here to have meetings with people like Andrew Colvin, and we've been pulling together people from relevant portfolios. Like yesterday, we had a big roundtable discussion about what we're learning on the ground, the members from areas that are affected, and, you know, making sure the voice of the community is being heard in all that. So, you know, we're making the most of having people in the one room and meeting with, you know, industries and businesses. So I've got that low fruit growing crew I'm meeting with this week. Met with Bill Hurditch from Visi that has the pulp mill over near Tumut. We've got Christy McBain, and all the mayors going to be at the Canberra Region Joint Organisation meeting today. So I'm hooking up with them, the Savo. I've got a meeting with Chris Taylor from Telstra, the Savo as well, to talk about our ongoing communication stuff. You know, just make the most of being in one place to sort out, you know, the recovery issues, because that's going to take years.
Yep.
And I just want to make sure I'm using this joint to hold people's feet to the fire, to say you're not going to forget us just because conditions have eased off.
Yeah, that's it.
Now it's the follow-up that's important.
Well, that's the criticism, and the only criticism I've heard is that, you know, and particularly, I don't know about Braidwood, but in Batemans Bay, we've had nearly every television breakfast show known to man come through the place and what have you. And it's all really great television and great news at the moment. But what happens in 3 or 4 months' time when everything starts to sort of get a bit more settled?
Exactly. And so, on one hand, I'm really pleased that people answered our call to get back into our towns. Like, you know, they answered the call to come to Braidwood. That was great. And many of our towns was at Tumberfest last Saturday. People answered the call to be at that. We need to keep that going, of course, because getting money into the community is the answer to keeping these small businesses afloat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But nothing, you know, like a lot of the government programs are just not landing. It's just too complicated, too hard, too slow.
Yep.
And I've been talking to Andrew and others that we need to get dedicated small business and Centrelink people having shop fronts in these towns, all our towns, for at least the next few months through to next summer, to help people navigate their way through these bloody processes. Because, you know, I was talking to farmers down at Benboka, where we had the rapid relief team there delivering fodder to them, and they were all asking me, they said, do you know any farmers have actually successfully applied for this stuff yet, because none of us have, and that's not good enough.
No, it's not. And is that a Centrelink problem, or is it a federal government problem, or what is it?
It's a bit of all of that. You know, we've had a lot of staff cut back at Centrelink, and they're the front line in these disasters. One of the things we talked about this week was seeing if we could mobilise retired Centrelink staff to come down and do a kind of reserved emergency deployment through these next few months.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But we need shop fronts in every town where small business and people affected can be guided through the process, and where these people can take back lessons learned to the head sheds and say, hey, this is a crap process that needs fixing or whatever. So that's really important in these next few months.
Absolutely. Mate, Gordon's just sent me an SMS. It was actually 11 weeks on the air for the fire updates.
11 weeks, yeah.
Amazing. That's a long time, isn't it?
It is. It is, you know, for like, you know, it's a community radio station.
All volunteers.
Voluntary basis.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Just like the fire is, you know. And one of the things I really want to emphasise going forward, apart from the better support for community radio, is we have to completely review every aspect of dealing with disasters on this scale, that we do not have sufficient personnel and capability resources to deal with this. And I've put forward a number of ideas of how we might address that. And so I'm going to keep, you know, pushing that.
Plugging away. Fantastic. Mate, stay well. I hope things are on the improve for you. Because the Raiders and the Brumbies need all the support they can get.
Yeah, they do, and Brumbies going real well. And a big shout-out, actually, to Raiders and the Storm, who are doing who've been on the coast, you know, sort of doing their bit. And so, you know, it's great to have our local sporting organisations backing in the community, and the Brumbies had all the fireys out there in the game at Canberra, so it's great.
Yeah, it is. And, look, they were in Braidwood, the Brumbies. We had
the seventh.
That's right. And the 15 senior players came along and had a great day with the kids, you know, and the big kids.
Yeah, that's what we've got to do now, actually, come up with ideas for events that we haven't normally run, you know, to kind of fill that hole through the next summer now. So good stuff.
Robbie will be chomping at the bit soon, mate. We better let you get back to doing some real work. And
no worries.
Righto, Mike, good to talk, mate. We haven't done it for a while, but we'll catch up again very soon.
Yeah, good on you, Pete. And once again, you know, big shout-out to all your team there, and thanks so much for what you've done.
Excellent. Stay well, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Bye. There goes the federal member for Eden Monaro, Mike Kelly, and somebody that I've known through media and political circles for about 14 years, and he does fantastic work.